This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagna Jujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Ha-ho. I want to say pinagi to my chuske, Robert Pilot, and my chujunk, Wendy. I want to say ha-ho to all my family and relatives and friends in four directions. I'm going to ask you to excuse me for a couple seconds here. I just want to say a quick prayer. And I thank the Lord, my creator, for all my blessings. I'm truly blessed. We ask for prayers and blessings for all our family and relatives in four directions. We pray all is well, and we think about you daily. And Lord, like I said, we come here on this radio show to ask for, we come with true facts. No fake news, and, we're not here to hurt anybody's feelings, step on anybody's toes. So we ask you to kind of put up with us like that way, because we're not here to hurt anybody's feelings. And we ask for prayers and blessings for the murdered and missing indigenous women, girls, men, and boys. You know, you're not forgotten. We pray that way for us, you know. And like I said, we're going to put down tobacco like we do on a daily basis. And we ask for prayers and blessings for all our family and relatives and friends in four directions that are dealing with health issues. You know, we are. You know, our creator. We ask for prayers like that, healing prayers for each and every one of us, especially my chujunk, Wendy, her mother, Dee, my brother, Carson, my friend, Victor Martinez, my wife, Kim, and my brother-in-law, Bradley. You know, so we ask for healing prayers like that. And anyway, we ask for prayers, too, for in four directions to all our family and relatives and friends that are dealing with loss and mourning and grief right now. You know, somebody walked on. So we ask for prayers for each and every one, you know, comfort prayers for each and every one of us. And like I said, I want to give thanks and praise to the Creator for this beautiful Kata Chewinga, blue sky. You know, that's my mom's name. So we ask for prayers that way. And like I said, I ask for prayers again for my Chuske Robert, you know, because he's doing a good thing here. And I ask for prayers and blessings for me and my wife, Kim. We're going down for Easter Sunday down to visit with her mother and her family down there. And we ain't seen them in a long time. So ask the Lord to open them roads for us and safe to and from. And I give thanks and praise to the Creator for all my blessings. I am truly blessed. Amen.
Ahoo. Pini Gigi Dega. Hey, what a great way to start the show. On today's show, we have John Greendeer of Ho-Chunk Nation and Mary Kanush Podin, state legislator. And we have Williamette Hardy on her personal story of murdered missing indigenous women, along with Rihanna Yazzie of New Theater and Laughing Matters, and Deanna Ray Standing Cloud of a New Native Ray Theater and Laughing Matters, along with Wendy Pilot speaking on her sacred animals. And we'll have Curtis West, my Dega, back later in the show talking about Ho-Chunk Nation and events. Pini Gigi, and also I'd really love the fact that we have Mary Kanush Podin on, and here she is. Here she is, Pini Gigi Choka.
Greetings, buenos dias. This is Representative Mary Kanush Podin. District 41B, and I am coming to you from beautiful Puerto Rico. This island is absolutely incredible. It's got every biome you can imagine. It's got the rainforest. It's got the dry southwest feel to it. It's got beautiful coastal villages and beaches like I've never seen before. It's just a tiny island, about 100 miles long and 35 miles wide. And we have covered a lot of those miles, learning about the culture and seeing how they have reconstructed themselves after Hurricane Maria went through. It looks like most things are back on track as far as electricity and the infrastructure goes, though every now and then they lose the electricity or the water, and more repairs need to be done. But the economy hasn't quite come back. So if you have an opportunity to travel, I would suggest you come down here and support them, keeping their economy strong. Tourism has really dropped off since the hurricane, but we had no problem finding beautiful Airbnbs and delicious food, and the folks are just wonderful. If you look at it from an indigenous lens, we tried to find out a lot of information about the original folks on this island, and they are the Taino folks, and the story is pretty much the same as Native Americans across the United States. The Europeans came in, colonized the island. So many of the indigenous folks, the Taino, were killed from diseases and mistreatment. And I haven't been able to find any, you know, original language speakers or anyone of Taino descent. Most of them are Spanish, of course, because Christopher Columbus is the one who landed first and created a Spanish-speaking island. And then the United States came in once they realized what a great location it is and an economic opportunity. And just as the United States government promised Native Americans in North America, they convinced the Puerto Rican folks to ally themselves against Spain with the U.S., promising to support the liberty and freedom. But, of course, once that war was won and Puerto Rico became part of the United States as a territory, never a state, they refused to add Puerto Rico to the United States, keeping it as a territory without any voting rights in our elections at the federal level. And, of course, that's the plan, because that would mean there would be more brown people voting. And so the United States, even though there have been efforts to make it a state, Puerto Rico a state, that hasn't happened. So it's holiday week on the island. There's a lot of things that are going on, pretty exciting around here. But we'll be heading out tomorrow again. And just wanted to let you know that the legislature will be back in session next week. On Tuesday, we'll be hearing the education omnibus bill. I've gotten a lot of email in support or not so much in support of the items, the bills that are in the omnibus bill, but I think it's a really good bill. I mean, it's full. It's got our Teacher of Color and Indigenous bill to encourage and help support our teachers of color getting licensed. We've got the tier licensing and all those sort of things. And so I hope that you'll be able to tune in on Tuesday and hear a little bit about it. We'll be on the floor most of the day, I expect. And then Wednesday is our Health and Human Services. And that's got a lot of other good legislation in that omnibus as well. So I'll let you go now, but just wanted to check in and let you know we'll be back in business at the legislature. And as usual, if you have any questions or ideas or thoughts, please come visit me at the legislature or give me a call or email me, Mary Kunish Podine at house.mn. Everyone take care. Bye now.
Pini Gigi for all the strong words and all you do for our native people. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show we discuss on Native Roots Radio, what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are still suffering from the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Native women and men, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Midwest All-Star Wrestling and the Downtowner
Woodfire Grill.
Hey, we're always so pleased, very pleased to have John Greendeer on, and he has former president of Ho-Chunk Nation and still works for Ho-Chunk. We're very pleased to have him on and as one of our correspondents. Peeny Geegee John, for all you're about to say.
Aho, hana chini kadagiwi no. Jige mashu skahi gaire. Ho-Chunk hija waonje. Eske chaki kadish waonje. Eske hapte e. Ho-Chunk woshka hiske. Anaga hi kuroke hara magara honigi dagikshinen. Eske jagu hi hekshinena hanaina huida. Eske woinap wiwa haje. To my friends and family and to all the listeners at Native Roots Radio, thanks for having me on. This is really exciting. I get excited to think about what should we talk about and how far should we go. So today I was really inspired from the recent events. First and foremost, the world waking up in our world after the summer solstice, our new year, our planting season. The birds are back, and the robins were kind of miffed because they might have come back a little too early because of our second and third winter. But you know what? That's life. The waters are raging. Things are vibrant and happening. And so I think it's worth capturing in this little bit of moment and having a little couple words on our Ho-Chunk traditional perspective. I also had mentioned I'm going to talk a little bit about our earth and about the clan system. I'd mentioned I'm a member of the Deer Clan and a very proud member, and what that actually means in real life. It, not around tribal election times where you find out what clan peoples are, but people that are actually living it, like my Ho-Chunk father, Ure Kumaniga, Bill Greendeer. Like, he's been out there speaking on behalf of things that don't have a voice, like our trees and our plants, our soils, our fish and water. And he's made it something. He's done more with his little beat up truck, and his, tea and berries and things like that going out there than a Fortune 500 PR team. So I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired by a recent show with Winona LaDuke, really discussing environmental justice and alternatives and the hemp industry. So, we've got folks that are out there, on iconic levels that are doing things, changing, behaviors, going backwards to go forwards. And so, that's kind of my inspiration here. And so now, how do we look at this as a little old me type of thing? So this is where I'm really happy to be Ho-Chunk, really happy to be a member of the Deer Clan, because it really is about making sure that your lifestyle and your focus is ensuring that these gifts that we're given, that's what my Jaji Bill says. He doesn't call them, he says, you got to quit calling them resources, call them gifts. That's what they're given. They're gifts, for us to use. And so that these gifts were passed along for generations as they were for us. So as members of the Deer Clan, in as far as back as I know, and maybe things could have been different back then, but our tasks were fairly simple. Our tasks were to be servants of the people, and that's a big task. Obviously, it could be entail a lot of things, but also to be messengers, primarily to our upper clans, and also to be what they call environmentalists. And I don't know if that's the actual word they were thinking of, but we are caretakers of our grandmother Earth. This was our grandmother. We take care of her now as she's taking care of us. So that's the relationship that we have. And when we stop doing our role, she's not going to be able to fulfill the role of taking care of us anymore. And, as modern and as assimilated as I think I've become, I try not to let that lose my thoughts in everything that we do. And I think there's a lot of people the same way. So now, as environmentalists, what does that mean? And that covers so much here, but let's just go back. So we've got a vibrant time, we've got the spring, our new year, all these things happening, planting season upon us. Also we've got construction season upon us, and so we've got a lot of things moving and waking up from this kind of long gray winter. And I think that kind of put people down in the doldrums, because they weren't really ready for our second and third winters. The robins certainly weren't. They kind of looked like they were messed up. We went out and bought some mealworms and got some food out there to make sure that they made it through, because they came home a little early and they probably should have stayed where it was warm. But nonetheless, They probably wouldn't have done that if we didn't screw something up or somewhere along the line. So so as an environmentalist, and you try to look at this, well, what do we capture? Because if we sat here and had a conversation about the environment, someone's going to talk about recycling. Someone's going to talk about climate change or global warming. Someone's going to talk about flooding. Someone's going to talk about beaver dams. Someone's going to talk about, you know, environmental justice. And so all of a sudden you've got this pinata that's busted all over the place, and you've got this scattered discussion, and it has to happen. And that, you know, because I think if you really want to make change and effective change, you've pretty much got to put all the tools on the table and start to organize how you're going to look at things. Now, there's a lot of different ways. You know, a PR firm might look at it a little bit more differently than an environmental services firm, who might look at it differently than a government council person might look at it. And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways to organize this. There's also ways to look at it in a matter of perspective. Where do I sit in this role of an environmentalist or a member of the Deer Clan? You know, on the global perspective, you know, we've got space dust and matter on the universal side. We've got climate change. We've got melting ice caps. We've got trash that's just being dumped into the oceans that to nth degrees. We've got, you know, and so these are the parts where you start feeling powerless, useless, that there's nothing I can do. That's over there. That's not really my concern type of thing. You've got things that are happening nationally. You know, we live in the nation that creates the most waste and the most byproduct. And, you know, we have done little to mitigate not only the consumption, but also the waste and material from that consumption as well. We've got states that impose different types of energy and efficiency standards. Some regulate it, some don't. Some are more, you know, feel like if you try to do anything on the environmental, unquote, side, it's going to affect you on the economic development side, and the economy is going to go down. And so we've got people scared into that. We've got local economies where things, you know, depend on, you know, commerce and being able to move materials through certain areas. And a lot of times, you know, the infrastructure was not made for these types of commercial upgrades, and of the corporations that are put here are subsidized, and they're not at fault for, you know, bringing on the contamination levels or the road construction. And so, you know, that falls on the shoulders of the local taxpayers and the residents here. And then we start getting into your local communities, and then your households, and then your individual practices. So you start looking at it different layers of, you know, where am I going to have the most impact? And now it does get a little confusing, a little harrowing, as I kind of feel too myopic to have any types of change. So this is where it really helps to be, to have some grounding in your clan system. Your it's more than a moral obligation. It's what your responsibility was in order to keep a people alive for centuries. And so this is where we're going back to. As Deer Clan members, we have the ability to educate, to teach people about their local environment and some of the things that they can do to reduce their carbon footprint, to have least impact, to allow species to exist and just be themselves. And, you know, part of that is making sure that the messaging, which is a part of our responsibility as well, is key to the audience as well. And sometimes that's not always the case. We kind of lit drop everyone or guilt people into things. And we really want people to make change, positive change, because it's the right thing to do, not because they're compelled or forced to do that. And the best way to do that has always been through education. So we do have to take on that role as an educator as well as a messenger. And so I think the first thing we need to do is identify what the real issue is. A while back, several years ago, my little brother, David Greendeer, Nachke Hunka, he really captured a notion that I never even realized. If I found myself doing this and wasting a lot of energy fixing problems I didn't know existed. He said, before you can begin to fix something, you have to put the problem on the table. What is wrong? What's the thing? You know, what's wrong with the environment? You know, and really makes you think about, okay, I need to actually be real clear. I can't politicize this. I need to be able to be straight up. What is the problem? So that we can actually figure out the solution. And so that's probably one of the first things. And those problems are going to be a little bit different for each community or individual that gets discussed. Now, in our teachings, our whole way of life will always draw us to pause from our regular, busy, stress-filled. I work 3 jobs just to be broke, can't get my kids to school on time kind of lifestyles, and just take a small break here and go back to the original sources, the original places of our lodge, of our fireplace, of our tobacco, of our language, you know, of our earth, our trees, our water, and make sure that the things that we're doing, you know, that we're what we're offering tobacco for, is to make sure that they remain healthy and that we maintain a relationship among those, no matter what things that we have ahead of us on the road, and we ask for help, and we make sure that there's sacrifice involved in by what we're doing or what we're offering to make sure that these things can continue to exist in a kind of a circular pattern. So, that's probably the best way to describe it for, you know, someone who has to jump in at chapter 4 of this. There's a lot more meaning of and origin where this comes from, but making sure that, we acknowledge that this earth is here for us to use. It was not here for us to own or to destroy. And I think that, you know, that very concept or philosophy does start to get obscured when you start looking and comparing whether or not the health of a field or a lake, stream, riparian area is can be quantified into a dollar amount or can be moved aside for development for the greater good or the substantial benefit of a local community. And so it does kind of borderline, put us in a juxtaposition with making sure that we have the value for our environment and our grandmother Earth at the top of the list. This is something I think we share universally with a lot of folks. And it isn't just, organizations and environmental advocacy groups. These are residents, people that are growing up in their communities, that are raising small children, that want clean water, that deserve clean water, that like to go out and recreate and enjoy, the scenic beauty of what we have. And this is why Wisconsin is just an A-lister for people that, want to come out and enjoy the world. Mining mineral extraction companies, they don't like Wisconsin because, they are looked at as a threat. And so you've got Perrier, Billiton, BHP, all these organizations that have come out to do this, and they're realizing the fight is going to be tough and it's going to be long. And I don't want to say that it's simply because we like our quote natural resources. I really believe that there is an inherent attachment that we have to our grandmother and that it will continue. And people like Bill and people like Winona and people like and organizations that are out there for the greater good understand that and they get it. And it's about making sure the message is out there. So these come from our old ways that we, still offer tobacco, that we still, light those fires. We still say those things that we were told thousands of years ago. And we do that with the best intent. We don't control this. We can simply just do our part and take it as far as we can. But, the existential danger is one day we may not be able to light those fires, pour that tobacco on behalf of these spirits and items, or speak the language. And so this is why it's so important to continue this legacy. So once again, I want to thank you all for this little piece of the time for the show. I know it wasn't as substantive as one might like to hear or enjoy, but that's the show. I'm always happy to take any calls at some point and, have some dialogue and listen. I think I enjoy learning as much as I enjoy sharing. So everyone, hina chekji, hina gigiwi, thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful day and get outside.
Oh, aho. That was John Greendeer of Ho-Chunk Nation. And I'll tell you, he is the role of an educator as well as a messenger. I really appreciate that. Next up, we're going to have William Ed Hardy up talking about murdered, missing Indigenous women and her personal story. We'll be right back after these messages.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 73. And tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 50. Sunday, a slight chance of rain with a high near 67 and a low around 45. Monday will be rainy with a high of 53 and a low around 39.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte. Cafe Latte is a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soup. Plus, their bakery specializes in fresh breads and desserts. Check them out at the intersection of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Moon Palace Bookstore and B Resale.
You know, Wendy and I really don't plan the first hour of the show other than our correspondents bring us a lot of information. But Williamette Harding, who's our guest today, I came out of nowhere and I had somebody message me on Facebook Live that this our relative here needs to tell her message. And I would like to – I'm grateful that we do not plan until the last minute for this first hour. And I'd like to really welcome you to Native Roots Radio and tell us who you are.
My name is Williamette Hardy Morrison. I'm from Panema, Minnesota, and I am of the Owasisi clan.
Who?
The Bullhead. Very proud of my heritage. And
you know, something really tragic happened in your life in 1996. Can you tell our audience the story that you need to tell us?
In 1996, my daughter left to go to Chicago to with a couple friends of hers to try to find a job, seek it out, look around, and find out what it was like over there. And at the end of July, we received a letter from her, and which was we then needed to try to find her. So at the early part of August, we sought out the various hospitals and jails in Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, and they had no record of her being in any of the facilities. So I then had people knew that my daughter was missing, and I had approached the Minneapolis Police Department to file a missing persons report, and I was denied the opportunity to file a missing persons report on my daughter. She was 23 years of age at the time, and the police officer told me that I'm not even going to bother taking this report. In fact, she's probably trying to get away from something. In fact, it's probably you she's trying to get away from. I'll never forget those words from the Minneapolis Police Department. Excuse me. So because we weren't able to file missing persons report and get the help of assistance of the police, law enforcement, my second oldest daughter tried 1-800-US-SEARCH, and they located an address of where my daughter had lights, utilities in her name. And it was actually a year later after she had gone missing. So in 2002, because during that time, sorry, back up a little bit, I had contacted various organizations, American Indian organizations, to say, hey, I need help. Can you help me find my daughter? And none of them were able to help me at that time, which I find really curious. So I was turned away. And one of our spiritual leaders, advisors for our community at the time, his name was Tom Stilde Sr., he asked one of our tribal attorneys to help me bring my daughter home. And tribal attorney ran for a judge in a different county and won and never did a thing to help us. And so there was a long plight for our family. We all went to hell. We all went to hell. When one person is missing from your family, mm-hmm. it tears the whole family unit apart. Mm-hmm. We start to lose each other.
She had her place in the family, and that place wasn't there anymore. I'm very sorry to hear that. Yeah.
So we all, to get back to my story, excuse me, in 2002, my mother had heard a rumor that my daughter had been shot and killed. And so she then got angry and called the police. So we sat with a Red Lake criminal investigator, and she took our report. And she My mother told her that she didn't ever want to hear anybody talking about her again because we didn't know, as a family, didn't know what happened to her. So the criminal investigator said, I will put out a search for her. And she did. And Chicago's missing persons responded, stating, you know, she's over here buried in Homewood Memorial Gardens, Homewood, Illinois. Mm. And
you know, we're gonna come back and catch up on this in the next portion and give you a chance. You're listening to Averitt's Radio Presents I'm Awake, and here with William F. Hardy talking about her missing daughter and what happened. We'll be right back.
We are a loose nation.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minneapolis, hey. It's me, Minus the Face Paint, from the Legion of Doom, Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal. Now, on May 11th, I'm coming back to the great state of Minnesota for the Women's of Nation wrestling event. That's right, me. Come take a picture, get an autograph, put on a spike shoulder pad. I will be there in face paint, in my garb. Come be there. Minneapolis, May 11th. Women's of Nation. Oh, what a rush.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and Mag Mechanical.
Hey, we're here with William Ed Harding, and we have this compelling story about her daughter missing. No one could tell her anything. Then Minneapolis police couldn't tell her anything. Finally, she heard a rumor that her daughter had been shot in Chicago, and they found her. So let's pick it up from there.
Okay. actually, The police reports and the medical examiner's report came to the Red Lake Police Department, and I was refused the opportunity to have a copy of them. So I had to go to an executive administrator and plead with him to hand me over those medical examiner reports. And so they did. They eventually did. And so then we went to Ikwewigumig. And Ikwewigumig is a battered women's shelter up in Red Lake. Mm-hmm. And they were able to help us out with a van and some funds to go to Chicago after we located her at Homewood Memorial Gardens. And we went directly to the they found it hard to believe that we were never notified because when the manager took out the card for my daughter's plot in their cemetery, there was a Minneapolis police officer's name on there that had already contacted them years before. Mm. And so she said, I find it hard to believe that you never were notified because Minneapolis police knew all this time where she was. So anyways, so then we seen where she was buried, and it was actually in a potter's field with like, I would say about 5-6 feet tall full of grass. Mm. And we walked through that field, and that manager looked at one fence and turned and looked at the other fence and said, right about here, and she started clearing that tall grass with her own feet. I was appalled, but anyways, so then we tried to get assistance and help, and of course we couldn't get any because what happened was we went to the medical examiner's office, and one of the medical records clerks was able to bring us through and provide us with other materials regarding my case, and she was the one also told me that my daughter was identified. She came in with identification on her. Mm. And the medical examiner was able to turn her into a white female, gave her a different name, changed her date of birth on her death certificate. And there's quite a few, like Illinois Masonic Hospital was involved. They have no record of it, though. Supposedly, they destroyed medical records after a certain point, which I know is false because I worked to help preserve medical records. But we had the door closed on us many times, the state attorney's office in Illinois. The investigators were upset, I think, that we were at the medical examiner's asking for records. When I seen the pictures of my daughter's body after her autopsy, you couldn't even tell that was my girl. Mm. She laid there. She was so beaten. Her face was all black and blue and puffed up. Her eyes were closed shut. Her lips were big and protruding. And then there was a clean gunshot on the left side of her chest. And the only way I could recognize that was my girl was her childhood scars and tattoo on her arm. But I knew that was my girl. Mm. And so anyways, sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
After reading the reports on a medical examiner's report, there were evidence that they couldn't line up their story straight as far as what happened to my daughter and how what what really happened to my daughter. There was a man, a 65-year-old man, I believe, that was sent to prison. He went to court 38 times regarding my daughter's death. And my opinion, that was an illegal act right there, because he actually went to prison for a person that did not exist. Mm. So anyway, we finally found Fagri and Benson, a law firm in South Minneapolis, heard our story at a round table, and they said, we want that one. Mm-hmm. So they assigned us one of their attorneys. He's just awesome and beautiful. He did some really good hard work. He was real firm, found out everything, and we sued them. We met him in December 2007, and we filed a lawsuit against the cemetery July 1st, 2008, and went into litigation with the cemetery three times in November. And December 8th, 2008, the judge was appalled that this happens in this day and age. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I only wanted to have my daughter's body exhumed and bring her home for proper burial, which we did.
Oh.
So the determination was that they exhume my daughter's body and return her to the custody of her mother in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But she first wanted her returned to the medical examiner's office and to be properly ID'd as Delma Hardy.
Mm.
And then we had already contacted a funeral home in the area of Chicago who was said he was willing to, at no cost to us, he was willing to pick up my daughter's body at the cemetery, take her to the medical examiner's office, take her back to the funeral home, and put her in a Ziegler tank and put her on a cargo plane to send her home. So December 24th, 2008, my daughter came to Cease Funeral Home in Bemidji, Minnesota.
What can we do to help?
We need attorneys.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you for that compelling story. There are women being taken, and we're not getting our help. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you, Willamette Harding, for your story. We'll be right back.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
This is AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The Russia probe, Columbine anniversary. I'm Ann Cates. Democrats are calling for the full release of the Russia probe findings. Correspondent Kara Scannell.
The Department of Justice is pushing back on this subpoena that was sent on Friday by the House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler. And this all stems from this distrust that the Democrats have with Attorney General Bill Barr. They believe that Bill Barr mischaracterized the findings of the Mueller report, and so they're asking for the full, unredacted report as well as the underlying information. And that, the Democrats say, is because they need to conduct their own investigation into obstruction, which would inform any decision on impeachment.
It is the 20th anniversary of the Columbine School massacre that left 13 dead, with the two teenage gunmen then taking their own lives. Correspondent Scott McLean spoke with Grant Whitus, the first SWAT officer to enter the school.
We broke the window. I went in right then, fully expecting to be in a firefight.
But by the time police went inside, 47 minutes after the initial gunfire, the shooters were already dead.
And by the time we arrived, there was hundreds of cops there and nobody had went in. 20 years ago, this is how business was done. Patrol gets there, surrounds it, locks the scene down, and waits for SWAT. In hindsight, that was the biggest mistake.
Close to 7,000 protesters have taken to the streets of Paris today, rallying against economic injustice after hundreds of millions of dollars were pledged to help rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral. Correspondent Melissa Bell.
Beyond the call of the Yellow Vests to come out in greater numbers than they'd achieved, frankly, these last few weeks for this Easter weekend is what happened on Monday. Far from dampening these protests down, the fire at Notre Dame led to huge amounts of donations pouring in to help restore the cathedral. We're at nearly $1 billion of donations that have been given. And what the Yellow Vest protesters have been saying these last few days is that, look, how can we live in a country where some people have that much money that they can donate?
I'm Ann Cates.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 73. And tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 50. Sunday, a slight chance of rain with a high near 67 and a low around 45. Monday will be rainy with a high of 53 and a low around 39.
Whatever April showers bring this year, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has you covered. Their triple savings sale offers $2,300 in savings on a new furnace and AC. Learn more about this great deal at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and AC, comfort you deserve.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, I want to tell you, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Downtowner Woodfire Grill, 255 West 7th Street in St. Paul, and also Hauling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
I should have had you read that, Eric.
It's not the same without Curtis here.
I should have had Eric read that. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Time.
All right. Yeah, thanks. Hey, so just a second here. I want to read something to you guys real quick so I don't get this wrong. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. It says that right here. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name and what you want to talk about today, Wendy.
Hey, hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, which means cares for them. I just want to go back and thank William Met Hardy again for that compelling story. It was really deep and very emotional. So we're going to switch gears here a little bit. And
I just want to thank her for doing that.
I know how hard it was, but those stories like that really need to be told. So.
And it's not unique, I think, in the Native community.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm going to be talking about a little road trip Robert and I were on yesterday. We went to the Wabasha Eagle Center. Sits right on the banks of the beautiful Mississippi River in Wabasha, and it's a really a cute little town, but it's a nonprofit organization. And we went down there to see the eagles and to learn some more about eagles. They have about five eagles in their center there, and all of the eagles that were there originated and were at the U of M Rapture Center. They tried to get rehabilitated to get back into the wild, but unfortunately these eagles were deemed not to be able to survive on their own. So they are now at the Wabasha Eagle Center, and it was quite amazing. I've never been so close to an eagle before. So I'm tall. I'm 5'7". Although Robert laughs and says I'm only 5'6¾". But anyway, the eagle, I would have to say, if I stood up, I'm going to stand up here in the studio, is above my knee. So, like, how tall? Like, I don't know. It's crazy how big they are. I just could not believe it because I see
about 42 inches, like a small child.
Yeah. So anyway, these eagles all had something wrong with them. One had lost an eye. They don't know, of course, how the eagle lost its eye, but it lost its eye. One of them had a damaged cornea that could not be repaired. And because these eagles need their eyes and depth perception, right, to fly around and find their prey, they cannot do this anymore in the wild. And if they were set free, even though they could fly, they would not be able to hunt and get food, and they would starve to death. So that's why they're at the center. One eagle got hit by a car, and its shoulder and wing was so badly damaged it couldn't be repaired, so the eagle couldn't fly anymore. I'm not sure about the other two, what happened to them, but again, they were deemed not to be able to survive in the wild. But we learned a couple of more fun facts about eagles while we were there that, you know, when eagles are born, they're kind of like a really dark brown or a black color. And, you know, we're used to seeing the bald eagle with the white head and the white tail being spectacular looking, right, flying through the sky with that bright white head and tail. But they don't get that until they're 5 years old. So they have to be at least 5 years old to look like that. And we learned that yesterday. And golden eagles, females, they're a little bit smaller than the bald eagle. They run about 6.6 pounds to 15 pounds. And the male bald eagles weigh 25% less than the females. So the females are pretty much a lot bigger than the male bald eagles. The female bald eagles can weigh up to 10 to 14 pounds, but it really depends on where they live. And I found out that like an Alaskan female bald eagle can weigh up to 18 pounds, where a Florida bald eagle, and I didn't even know there were bald eagles in Florida, but the bald eagles who live in Florida weigh as little as 7 to 8 pounds. Now, an eagle that lives in the wild, if they make it that far, they say that only like one out of six eagles even makes it to 5 years old in the wild, just because of environment, poisons, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But just to be able to survive past 5 years old is pretty slim. But the ones that do, and they do very well, a bald eagle can live in the wild up to 20 to 25 years, which I thought was astonishing. But 70 to 80% of eagles die before they reach adulthood. So that's a sad fact. And the birds that are in captivity, like at the Wabasha Eagle Center, those eagles will live much longer. They could live over 40 years, sometimes even 50. They have a controlled environment. They have a nutrient-rich diet. They have really good veterinarian care. So they have it all going for them. The one thing I have to say about the Wabasha Eagle Center was I kind of felt bad for the eagles because they were kind of like on display, and they had like a little they were put in this room where you could walk and see them and be really close to them, but they had like a little leash on their leg, and they could only like hop around a certain area. So
that's kinda how they wouldn't jump after those obnoxious kids.
This is very true. So I did feel bad. And I felt good, though, that they get to go outside every day. So that's good. So, yeah. So it's a nice place. The eagles are awesome. Check it out. Also, the woman, we went to see like a little program, and this woman was showing us an eagle and telling us about the eagles and things like that. And the one thing she said was that, you know, eagles are on the top of the food chain, and they don't really have any predators at all. No predators except humans. So humans, the two things how eagles die. Number one is starvation. They can't hunt. There's no food. Things happen, and they starve. The other thing is it's lead. And she was asking the audience, where does lead come from and why do the eagles die from this lead? You know, and some of the kids were really cute. They were telling, like, well, they find the lead in the trees. And, you know, they had, like, some cute little answers. But
first person, though, got it right away. She said lead sinkers.
Yeah, the lead sinkers. So fishermen go out and they have the lead sinkers. And then the line breaks, right? So the sinker gets hooked up with the fish, and the fish
Fish swallows it.
Yeah, or the fish swallows it or whatever, and then the eagle gets the fish, and then the eagle is chomping on the fish, eating the fish really fast. It's not looking for anything shiny or saying, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't eat this. because it's, you know, not fish, it's a sinker. The eagle doesn't know any better, and the eagle's eating the sinker. And then the eagle can get lead poisoning. And the one thing that she really said that I thought was really interesting is, as she said, if you look at a penny.
Lincoln's nose.
Okay. Right? Look at a penny and you look at Abraham Lincoln's face on the penny and the size of Abraham Lincoln's nose, that's the amount of lead that can kill an eagle. That teeny little amount. So go ahead and take a look at a penny in Abraham Lincoln's nose.
They passed it around.
It's there was a really small amount of lead that can really damage these eagles, and it's really, really sad. And also gunshots. So hunters go out there. They use lead bullets. They kill a deer. The deer takes off running. The hunter doesn't know where the deer went. The deer dies. The lead bullet is opened inside the animal, and the animal just dies. And then the eagles find – and other animals find the deer, and then they eat the lead.
You know, one of the things that I didn't like, I wonder if you can guess.
Oh, I don't want to even talk about that. That the they had the eagle eating a bunny.
I like that part. No, I'm just kidding. The part that I didn't like was they handed out eagle feathers to everybody. And messing with them, and those are really sacred to us.
Yeah,
so
well,
I was kind of like
We could get in touch with the Wabasha Eagle Center and talk to them about that. I'm sure they'll be reasonable and maybe do a different way and show the feathers to people the other way.
Well, I enjoyed the ride down there.
Yeah, the ride down there was great. I just want to talk about this one thing, babe. You keep interrupting me. But the woman who's teaching the class said that her father was an avid
hunter,
and he used lead bullets, but she kind of talked him into using copper bullets. And she, every Christmas or holiday or birthday he had, she would buy him copper bullets and hope that other hunters, and that she would ask other hunters to use copper bullets to stop poisoning animals in the wild using these lead bullets. Robert, you shared an article on our Native Roots Radio page about a golden eagle that was tagged just to watch to see what was going on with this eagle, and that eagle also ate like a carcass of an animal that had already been dead and ingested the lead and died of lead. And it was really sad for the people who really wanted to study this eagle and hopefully have this eagle live a really long time, but it didn't. So,
well, I know we've
talked. If you're a hunter out there, please use copper or other bullets.
And they're just as expensive. So, think of our sacred animals and the eagle. In particular, let's get lead out of the lakes and out of the bullets and everything. Well, you're listening, and thank you again for talking about our sacred animals. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next we have Deanna. We have a couple people coming on. Miss Yazzie's going to be here, and we're going to be talking some fun stuff. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe. I want to say just a couple of them. Jay Selby and the Bean Factory, J&S Bean Factory.
They're all within a few miles of each other, too.
Yeah, they are.
We love those. We love our sponsors. Please support them and say that. You heard this on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, we're here with Rihanna Yazzie, Deanna Ray Standing Cloud, and they're people from the New Native. And I always put the in there, darn it. New Native Theater, and we're going to be talking about Laughing Matters, and it's a workshop and a live show coming up, and it's where I reading this right here. Well, first of all, welcome. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Robert.
Sorry. I was just starting my own show, I guess. Welcome. And it's so good. It's always great to see you guys in the community, and now you're here, and it's always awesome to see what you guys are doing in the community with the theater. Yes. It's so important. So Peeny Gigi for that, and also Peeny Gigi for being here. So let's talk about in May 9th and May 11th, we have a couple of things that you guys are going to be working on, like a workshop and a live show. In Hennepin County here, the library is helping support this, and they reached out to us. And I'm glad that they got you to get on my show, because I always beg you guys to be on the show. And now I know I have to go talk to the Hennepin County Library to get these guys on the show. Welcome. So that's oh, that was a real laugh. Good one.
I'm laughing.
Yeah, good one. Hey, laughing,
matters. Does laugh matter.
Well, this is good, because we had a pretty heavy duty first part of the show, and I'm glad you guys are here, and maybe we can have a few yucks. Ready, go, make me laugh.
Wah.
Just right on. Oh, on demand.
That always makes me laugh. So let's talk about this. How this come about? You know, you're going to do a workshop. You got people coming and working.
Cool.
Yeah, and I think it's really good to reach out that way, because you get more people involved, and then they're more
lots
likely
of readers
to come
too, because it's a library.
Well, we're gonna have jokes, but it's gonna be good for you guys too, because I think the more you reach out, the more you get back, and I think that's a great way to go about it, is to have these workshops, and plus you'll probably find some good actors there too.
Well, you know, that's always a good hope we have, finding new actors in the Native community. But
I told you I was billing Cheaper by the Dozens in seventh grade at Ramsey Junior High.
Really?
So that was, yeah.
Oh, he's putting in a plug.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a podcast, Robert, and all we need is your voice.
Well, as you know, you've been on the show a couple times. I can't read, so I'm going to need
or
help.
Pronounce
with,
anybody's
or
name
pronounce
correctly.
Anybody's name correctly when that light goes on. So.
Well, we know who you are anyway. That's the power of editing, editing
right.
suite.
Yes,
that's we'll right. use some Pro Tools on you.
Right on.
Well, it's a podcast, so this has been more than a year in the making. So A couple of years ago, we did we continue to do the National Native American 10-Minute Play Festival. And in that, Deanna wrote a play called Blood Quantum Physics, which was just freaking hilarious. It was about being at the powwow, running into your baby daddy with all your friends, and he's trying to snag on Tanya Jo Hall.
You can't pronounce anyone's name.
I feel better. That was kind of Italian,
she was,
too.
She was helping you.
Yeah, I was just, you know, trying to make you feel comfortable.
I'm getting there. We smudged off earlier, so I'm doing okay.
You're doing good. And then the following year, Deanna wrote another play, and that was called...
That one was called Virtual Medicine Man. And a lot of these story ideas come about when I'm just talking to some of my friends and we're just joking. And I'll just start, you know, writing from that that point we were talking about. I remember.
So the next one's going to be like on a radio show. It's going to be about being in a radio show and
It totally could be. Well, because she had written these plays, we were just thinking that it'd be really fun to create a podcast series so that something that was like maybe between like 5 and 15 minutes for each episode. And so this was something that was in the works. There was also another podcast series that we also kind of have in the back burner called Little Apple, Big Apple. But right now we're focusing on Deanna's called Blood Quantum Physics. And so when Hennepin County Library asked us to be a part of their Laughing Matter series, and I think they've been doing it for 3 years now, I thought, like, well, let's finally get Deanna to put this podcast together. So we commissioned Deanna to write the plays, and we're going to be recording them live in front of a studio audience South High. And that one's on May 11th at 7 o'clock. But we're also doing a workshop on May 9th at Anishinaabe Academy at 6:30. So that if anybody is interested in learning about, like, how do you put a radio play together, well, come on down. You can participate. Do like Foley sounds. You know, like if Deanna writes any horses in it, we'll have like coconuts.
Say, oh, coconuts.
Or, you know, also just sort of like other other electronic
doors,
sounds and stuff.
The rain.
Well, we were at the St. Paul Hotel this year for, I don't know what anniversary it was, with Jim Cunningham's.
It's a Wonderful Life. And okay. They put that on. Yeah.
And it's the theater of the mind for sure, these podcasts you'll be doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. It reminds me of, like, you know, when I was a kid, I watched like Little Orphan Annie, and I remember like the 30s or whatever, where they'd have the radio shows and they'd have the sounds, and I'm like, "Oh, this is cool," but just like 2019 but native style, like in front of people. So, I'm really excited I'm actually really excited that the actors will actually be able to use their scripts, because that adds a whole, like, that takes away some stress. Mm-hmm. We just finished up a huge production called A College Education, and that was a 90-minute play. And that was the first time that I had to memorize so many lines. And I think there was, like, two or three that I was not actually in. Mm. So I'm happy that the actors, that takes some of the pressure off and my creativity can, because I'm still in the process of actually writing these stories. So it takes some of the pressure off of being creative.
Well, we love live theater, Wendy and I, and I know we need to get hit in the head and promote whenever you guys are doing this, because I see it after it happens on Facebook and go, oh, look at all these great pictures. And you guys... you guys go to the people. So, in other words, not always is it all in one theater. You'll go to the people, which I think is really, really pretty cool for that.
Yeah, we do. We do a couple of ways. So we do theater in sort of a conventional sense. So we'll rent a space, rent a theater. We were just at Dreamland Arts, which was in St. Paul. And we had a three-week run there. And then after that, we had a request from Red Lake Nation College. So we went up there, and we performed the play twice. And it was really great audience. you know, we've also got some other requests over the summer for some things that are happening. So we do a little bit of both. We come to you, and you can come to us.
Well, we're going to talk some more about this and maybe do a play on a radio show about a person that can't read or talk, but he has a good voice. So I'm here with Rihanna Yazzie and Deanna Standing Claude of Native Theater, and we're talking about Laughing Matters put on by the Hennepin County, and we'll be right back with them.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 73. And tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 50. Sunday, a slight chance of rain with a high near 67 and a low around 45. Monday will be rainy with a high of 53 and a low around 39.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte. Cafe Latte is a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soup. Plus, their bakery specializes in fresh breads and desserts. Check them out at the intersection of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Wakanja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Neighborhood Cafe. Good food and good friends.
Wow. Let's go there soon.
I'm all,
I was just thinking about that.
I'm so hungry.
We only had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches before we came here, but don't feel
we're
sorry.
We're rushing around before we get here, so it's just...
like a chicken with their, you know. All right. So, hey, I'm here with Rihanna Yazzie and Deanna Ray Standing Cloud. They're with the Native Theater.
New Native Theater.
New Native Theater.
NNT.
I don't want to say the new Native Theater. Nope. New Native Theater. And also we're talking about Laughing Matters, a workshop and a podcast you guys will be doing. And that's exciting.
Yeah, podcast series.
Yeah. And that's exciting because I think my big thing is to get everything Native, and especially in the Twin Cities, pointed to one direction, whether it's one big website where you can click on somebody's show and we're not, you know, we're all supporting each other. And so we can talk about that sometime soon. But I think we really need to get together and support each other. And I'm so glad that you guys are here.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. I had to work through your agent, Miss Wolf, from the library.
From Hennepin County.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But she got you here, which is awesome.
Yes. But we did drive ourselves. I missed the limo this morning, so I was running late.
That was it's in the garage.
The Hummer pulled up, and I was like, no.
No.
Yeah.
I'm asleep.
Does it have two phones? I want to talk to the driver. So – well, let's talk a little bit about blood quantum physics, because blood quantum is a hot button, and we throw physics in there, and we have comedy. So how does that work, or how did that work?
I actually just came from a Red Lake Constitutional Reform meeting right before I got here, and we're talking about blood quantum. I know that the concept came about after the first tenement Minute Play Festival, when we're just hanging out downstairs. We're like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we were at a powwow? And then I just kind of pulled it together. But after taking some of Rihanna's workshops, I realized that there's a structure to creating plays. So you have to have what's called a major dramatic question. This was a quiz. So a major dramatic question. So having to fold that in and structure it in a way that you present to an audience and have it packaged into a 10-minute time frame. So I was trying to pull that together, but blood quantum physics, I'm a very a student of quantum physics, and I just thought that it was cool to put the words together because I love, like, science and, you know, things like that. So I put that together. But it's really about citizenship and being connected to – so these young girls are actually off the reservation, but her daughter she's trying to enroll her daughter and mm-hmm. what that means for the future generation. So we're trying to put that all together in 10 minutes. It's like a Twitter post almost. Like you have to put it together. How many characters?
Twitter play.
Yeah.
Well, I know the few writing workshops I've done I've gone to is that the person with the first syllable or first word of their name is a J, they usually die. Because like Jesus, did you ever hear that?
No, I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either.
Colin, if I made that up, no, I'm just kidding. But no, I did hear that. I don't know. It was in junior high when we were doing a lot of reading back then and on books. Oh. If the person's name started with a J, they usually died in the book.
In the book. Okay, let's test that. Name a random book.
Jacob and Twilight.
Oh, did he die?
I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
He shapeshifted.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a form of death.
Now everybody's thinking, what's the last book I read?
All I can think of are the Judy Blume books.
Judy Blume.
I thought it would be great to have these guys on and we didn't have to do anything, but this has been awesome. So that's cool. And that's comedy and sorrow are such a thin line. And how do you skate back and forth from irony to sadness to happiness to funny? And
you're kind of making a point of the whole purpose of your 10-minute little skit has a purpose to it, right? It doesn't have like heart to it and kind of tells the whole story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think one of the – sometimes things don't necessarily need to have a purpose. I mean, other than the fact that – you know, as Native people, we never get to see anything that reflects our actual personal experiences in the world. Mm-hmm. So just the mere fact that Deanna's writing characters that are relatable, characters that have funny experiences that we have, you know, just like you're saying, ironies. Just being a Native person is probably the biggest ironic thing in the world, right? So, I mean,
off
the really fun stuff that Deanna's writing about is that kind of – that kind of thing because, you know, the plays, these podcasts, they're really meant for Native audience. Mm-hmm. It's like you get all the in jokes, you know. We're not trying to, like, educate anybody outside. Not trying, but, you know, if they listen, they'll probably be educated.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. Why the movie Smoke Signal still works today 20-some years later, 21 years later. Because of all those inside jokes and right. The card going backwards, you know, just things
Victor,
like that.
Why does your dad hate you?
Yeah. He ain't coming back. Oh,
he's at Thomas.
And then it's like, oh, that's a great tradition of, you know, the language here, you know, what the girls were saying in the car, you know, just all these things that are inside jokes that. That's,
you have your passport with you, Robert.
Right. It's a foreign country.
But he has to drive in reverse.
Right. But of course.
That's awesome. So what's the process? How far ahead do you have to be before opening day? And this is a new theater question.
Well, what do you mean? So we need a script.
But I mean, no, but I mean, like, let's say we
have, nervous. No,
let's say we have to have, we're scheduled to have a play open next week. So
May 11th, 7 o'clock at South High.
Well, I guess you have a workshop on the 9th then. So, no, but how far ahead, this is a different subject, how far ahead do you have to plan? Like, are you always looking for Native plays?
Yeah, I am. I am interested in reading plays written by Native folks. I like a lot of comedy, to be honest. I mean, I think more of the stuff that New Native Theater produces sort of has a strange comedic side to it. But we also, you know, we've also produced things that are kind of really super heavy and deal with issues that maybe nobody else is talking about. Mm-hmm. But so we pick the plays. Sometimes the plays get done. We discover plays and playwrights through our 10-Minute Play Festival. And, of mm-hmm. course, Deanna was a playwright we discovered through the 10-Minute Play Festival. And our last show, Wounspe Wankatia College Education, that was written by Alex Hesbrook Remier, who's Cheyenne River Lakota. We found her play in the 10-Minute Play Festival. So that was in August, and that was a pretty short development process to get it from 10-Minute Play to a 90-minute show.
So how many years have you been doing this here in the Twin
we're
Cities?
We're celebrating our 10th anniversary right now.
And how many years? Yeah, congratulations.
Yes. Woohoo! Happy 10th.
Yes.
10th birthday.
Yes, that's awesome. And how many years have you been doing it?
Well, I always loved to write, but the first time I auditioned for a New Native Theater was, I don't know, like
3 years ago?
Yeah, it seemed like it was really recent.
Yeah, it's very recent. And it's... I mean, there's so many younger actors that it's like, oh, I'm kind of comparing myself to them. But as Native people, we can't do that because we're in this process of, like, reclaiming so many different things. So our learning curve, or like getting through our traumas to be even creative can always take decades.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. You had, I think he still works with you, Aj.
Ajwa.
Yeah. And we've had him on the show and I've destroyed his name too. when his movie came out, but he's not a veteran, but an alum of.
Yes, he is.
And that's exciting to see people break out and hopefully one of your plays or a play that is written through or through the theater that will make it on the screen or big time.
That's true, but I would also challenge your thinking that to be successful means you have to have a Hollywood film, because what we're doing is extremely successful right now. If I could tell you the many different stories of change that happened individually for people, the thousands of audience members who've come to see our plays, the mere fact that we have Native people on stage doing something that they didn't absolutely do 10 years ago is a huge, huge thing. And, I mean, our plays are excellent. The writing is fantastic. I mean, and the acting is absolutely beautiful, you know. So, I mean, and that's sort of the thing is I think we need to look at, like, we have something that's fantastic right here and right now. So I do hope everybody comes and checks it out on May 11th and the workshop on May 9th.
Well, we'll be there, Wendy.
Everybody where it is.
Oh.
On the 11th, it's at South High in the school auditorium.
And the Anishinaabe Academy.
Anishinaabe.
I'm Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, but I'm Navajo.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No, and so that's in Minneapolis on 28th Street, East 28th Street. So, yeah, that's I stand corrected. That's absolutely true because the journey is the reward, isn't it? There is no ends to means.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so because what theater does is it raises your self-esteem. It it gives you a more grounded and connected sense in the world. And then as Native people, since we never get to have the advantage that everybody else in this country, pretty much no matter what ethnic group, get to see their full lives played out in front of them in variety of situations and films and stories, they get to see themselves grow. Whereas as Native people, we don't get to see other Native people grow in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, for instance, I can't think of like when I was a kid, like I wish that I could see like a Native girl have an experience of like her first love or her first kiss. And what was that like, you know? You don't have that story as a Native person. You're watching like, I don't know, like Saved by the Bell, and you're like, is that my experience? I don't think so.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And to having not – I mean like to not explain yourself and have people get your jokes, I think that's like my favorite thing in the world. To not have to go back and like, oh, well, this means this. What, Skoden, Studis. I don't have to explain the definition of those things.
Right. Exactly.
So –
that, you know, and again, I stand corrected. That's beautiful. I always like to be corrected, right, Wendy? No, I'm just kidding.
Wendy knows.
Wendy knows. No. No, but hey, let's talk about this real quick here. We got 1 minute left. We got a workshop. It's Thursday, May 9th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at
Anishinaabe Academy.
That's right. You passed the test and said it correctly. And then you guys go to live show Saturday, May 11th from 7 to 8:30 at South High School Auditorium in Minneapolis, too. So the register online, and the Hennepin County Library has helped promote this. And really, it's always a pleasure to have both you on. I've had you on separately, so this has been really, really awesome
for me.
Really. And best wishes, and Wendy and I will be at the next play, we swear.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You can find us at newnativetheater.com or on our Facebook page, and theater spelled with R-E at the end.
Or Instagram.
Instagram.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minneapolis, hey, it's me, minus the face paint, from the Legion of Doom, Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal. Now, on May 11th, I'm coming back to the great state of Minnesota for the Women's of Nation Wrestling Event. That's right, me. Come take a picture, get an autograph, put on a spike photo pad. I will be there in face paint, in my garb. Come be there, Minneapolis, May 11th. Women's Nation. Oh, what a rush.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350 and Ho-Chunk Nation, the people with the sacred voice.
Yes, yes. Hey, so we have Curtis, and I don't know if he's where he is in Iowa or where is he? Welcome.
Dega, where are you, Dega?
Hey, United States of America.
That's welcome.
Awesome. I'm right at the border of Iowa and Minnesota right now.
Well, we miss you in the studio today, Dega.
Hey, man, I miss you guys too. Yeah, a whole bunch. Yeah.
Hey, this is what we like to call, what does our elder think at the border?
Who?
Tell us your name and what you think.
Hey, Pinagigi, Chushke and Chujunk. I love you guys and I miss you. Feels kind of funny talking on the road, but I'm not driving. I'm talking in a parking lot. But my name is Moshke Hanajinga. My name is Walks on White Cloud. My colonized name is Curtis West. And I want to say hi to my baby girl. She's listening to me right next in the next seat from me right now. So, ha-ho.
Ha-ho.
And I want to say hello to all my family and relatives and friends in Four Directions. You know, I pray all is well, and that we Native Roots Radio prays for all of our relatives in Four Directions. And I really like it for my Chuske here. He gives me a couple minutes to express myself, so I really like that for him. So he gives me, I can get some birthdays out, some shout outs, some events, but you know, my Chuske knows my phone is jacked and my Wi-Fi is messed up right now too. So I'm gonna do the best I can today. But I'm gonna start off with some birthdays and Chujunk, I do got a elder saying today. All right,
I'll be sure to ask you about it. And also, okay, Dega, we have a picture of you on the Facebook page. You look very handsome.
Oh my goodness! Oh yeah. My God!
Eric, hey, put that
hey,
up.
I got the best face for radio, right?
You and me both.
But anyway, thank you, Chujunk. And anyway, I'm going to start off with a couple birthdays on this. And this one good buddy of mine, man, his name is Shane. He's a veteran, and he rides a motorcycle for that motorcycle group for veterans, military veterans. So Shane Johnson, happy birthday. And then I want to give out some elders, like I said, elder birthdays, because there's a couple people older than me and Robert that we have to look after. So anyway, there's this one dude down there, man. His name is Kim White Gull. I'm going to say happy birthday to him. And once that's on the enrollment board, she's kind of the boss down there, Rita Gardner. I'm going to say happy birthday to her. And then a kin of a friend of ours, Robert Two Bears, his sister Barbara, her birthday. And so I want to say happy birthday to them. And Nathaniel Cloud and Ernestine Helgeson. And we always like to do shout-outs, too, and I'm glad Chuske puts up with me. And anyway, we want to give a shout-out out to Barry Hand.
Yahoo.
And John Greendeer. You know, that guy is amazing. And but anyway, I got to say hi to my little nanny, Betty Greencrow, and Jimmy Cornbread Funmaker. I want to say it like that to them. And a shout-out again, too, to me and Robert talked earlier today about David and Eli from Midwest All-Star Wrestling. So we want to say ha-ho to them guys out that way. And then I just got a couple events, and I've been listening and to the show, and Robert mentioned, and the last one is coming up like that. But events, you know, like we always say, language class is very important to whatever nation you belong to. So Monday nights at Ho-Chunk area office up there in St. Paul is set 5:30 for the beginners, and Thursday they mix them up with the advanced and beginners at 6:30. And like me and Chuska always say, you know, it's nice to bring a something to share with the other ones, but if you don't tie on that big feed bag, and that's how we like it like that. One other thing I want to, and I can't forget, you know, and I heard Animal on that last commercial earlier, but May 11th, it's a Saturday, the Women of Nations Eagle Nest Shelters Midwest All-Star Wrestling event up at Sibley High School in Mendota Heights. You know, I get the honor to walk in with the Wangsika. He's a native brother from up in Dakotas. His name is Austin Arrow. Mm-hmm. And we'll get a chance to walk into the main event with him. And there's this hand drum group coming in honoring us with some songs and some heartbeat up there from Red Lake. So we're looking forward to that. And then we got some real, you know, like we say about women. You know, we pray about them women. They're our backbone. And they got some women in their beautiful regalia that's going to come in and walk with us too. So, like I said, but the other thing real important on another event that's coming up, and you know, it's Wangsheek from Ho-Chunk Nation. You know, everybody's always got to complain about something, but there ain't no complaints if you don't get out there. And it's like anything, make that vote. Uh-huh. You got a runoff coming down for the new president, the one president. My little choker, Willie Cleveland, he's stepping down as his terms are up. But we got two good ones that are coming up, and so make your choice. It's Greg Black Deer or Marlon White Eagle. Uh-huh. So you know, look at their platforms and this and that. So I don't want to hear you complain if you don't get nobody to vote for you like that. And yeah. I want to wish everybody a happy Easter too. You know. Mm-hmm. Hope all your chocolate bunnies are waiting for me.
Dega, I was wondering if you had a native saying for us.
Yeah, this one, I'm quoting this, a very important chief. This is a quote from Chief Sitting Bull. Mm. He said in his quote, he said, "Nothing is so strong as gentleness. Nothing so gentle as real strength."
Beautiful. You always have beautiful native wisdom for us every week.
Oh, and can I do one more thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi! Oh, that's right. You weren't here to howl, but Eric.
I howled, and I seen these guys in McDonald's parking lot. They got scared. But, and then I have one for Chuske.
Uh-oh.
Ho-Chunk word of the day.
Yeah.
All right. Wyskop Dakade.
Wyskop Gakade?
Wyskop Gakade.
Yes?
Fry bread.
Ho, ho. Hey, so that everyone's got to go to Henry Sibley School on May 11th in Mendota Heights.
May 11th. Yep. May 11th. And please go online and order your tickets, because with all them celebrities that are going to be there,
mm-hmm.
it's almost almost a sold out event already.
That's right.
So
and they made
it'd be really good to get a hold of them guys, and it's for a good cause. Women of Nations, you know, like mm-hmm. I said, the women are backbone. They're much respect to all our women relatives, and it goes out there. Not, like I said, no woman needs to be sexually, domestically, physically, or emotionally abused. And they're our backbone, and it's a good cause, and I really appreciate it for David and Eli that they got this going on. All proceeds go to the organization, Women of Nations and Eagle Nest. So
that's right.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
It's going to be a beautiful thing, and like I said, come on out and support.
Right.
Maybe Robert and me are going to be tag teaming against somebody, but we don't know for sure.
Will it cause the high criers? Hold on for the very end here. Okay. And also, Laughing Matters workshop and live show, May 9th, the workshop, and then the live show is May 11th. They're doing from 7 to 8:30, and on the 9th they're doing from 6:30 to 8. And one's at the South High School and the Anishinaabe Academy. I would like to end with these thoughts. Oh, also, I have one other thing I want to bring up just before this. And, you know,
Robert's going to run out of time.
That's okay. Neither Wolf Nor Dog is playing at Elk River. This film up until Wednesday. Go see it. You know, resist, divest, join a group. I would like to thank all our guests here. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.